Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of the Antler Queens Yellow Jackets podcast. I am Media Melanie, along with...
I'm Kelly. Hey, guys.
And I'm Emily. Hello.
Hey, so we are coming off of a holiday weekend. We had some days off, and I know I was doing some chilling. How about you girls?
Yeah, I had my poor husband was sick all weekend, so we didn't do a whole lot, but we never really do anything for Thanksgiving anyway. But we watched the CBGB movie, which was great, and Bradley Whitford was in it too, which is, I love him. played a tiny part, but I decided to rewatch Wentworth. I still haven't seen last season, so I'm rewatching it before I watch the final season. Great show if anybody likes really dark, depressing stuff.
All right. I was actually watching Wednesday, which is with our friend Christina Ricci, and it's on Netflix. It is a revival-ish of The Addams Family, and it's starring Jenna Ortega. And Christina Ricci plays one of the staff at Nevermore Academy. She's, you know, a little bit quirky and fun, very Christina. And speaking of other TV shows, we had Chippendales premiere on Hulu, which is featuring Juliette Lewis. So
love it so far.
So good.
I haven't watched it yet. I can't wait. What episodes are you guys on?
Well, they've only released two.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I didn't realize the whole story, like the whole crazy story behind that. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's nuts.
My God.
I need to watch.
Yeah, it's really good.
I already can tell I'm going to love her character. From Natalie.
I loved her. She was like, the first two times we see her, she's just like, I fucking love this place.
Oh my God.
I love her personality. Yeah, Wednesday is next on my list.
It's sure. Good. It's really good. She gives off some Misty Quigley vibes for sure. For sure.
Yes, I think I'm on episode 4 of Wednesday. My family loves it too. My husband, my son, my daughter, everybody's enjoying it. And it's really nice to see our Yellow Jackets girls getting out there and some other shows to continue tiding us over until season 2. Speaking of season 2, they are of course filming it right now, and we got this little gem on Simone Kessel's Instagram with all of the adult Yellow Jackets. We've got Tawny, we've got Juliet, Lauren, Simone, Christina, we've got Melanie there. So it is very exciting to see everybody together in that photo. And I think we've all been kind of waiting for an appearance of Lauren Ambrose and Simone, you know? So now we've got one all together, which is very, very exciting.
I could not believe this. And I know I mentioned this in our little group chat, but when I first saw that picture, my eyes went immediately to Lauren Ambrose. And I totally, at first glance, thought it was Frances Conroy. And Lauren Ambrose is a lot younger than Frances Conroy. Not that she looks like she's the same age as Frances Conroy, but it's just like the weird filter that they're using and everything. And so it just made me think, holy crap, 6 Feet Under did a really good casting job with casting them as mother and daughter.
I just started watching that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How do you like it so far?
I just started. I'm only on episode 3. It's a little slow, but I really like Lauren Ambrose's character, like right out of the gate.
Yes.
All about David and Claire.
Yeah.
Love David and Claire.
I love 6 Feet Under. Love 6 Feet Under. I actually just got HBO on a Black Friday special. Oh, so yay. I'm excited to dive into White Lotus and Succession and some of these other shows, maybe a 6 Feet Under rewatch as well. We'll have to see. And we've got something fun coming up. So December 9th, part of our Patreon is we do a quarterly fan Zoom. And we are going to have a little chat with our patrons on December 9th at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern time. It's going to be a bunch of us fans just getting together and chatting. Maybe there'll be a surprise. Maybe there won't. We're working on it. But what we do know is that we're going to have some fun. We are actually going to have a pool to guess 2 different dates. First will be the date of the Yellow Jacket season 2 premiere. And then also we're doing a little guessing game on the trailer drop date. So we're going to have a post pinned in our Patreon to a Google form. if you're one of our patrons, you can go on, you can guess your days, and then there will be a winner for each correctly guessed date when, of course, we have the answer to it. So we're going to do a little, I wouldn't say gambling, I would say a little guessing game to figure out, just put our best guesses down for some season two stuff. It's going to be fun. December 9th, you have to be a patron to participate. So you can join at patreon.com/theantlerqueens.
And I'm also working on a game right now. I'm working on my recipe for my Aquila sunrise.
Oh, love that. Yes. We hope to get some more fans there. It'll be a good opportunity just to connect and chat and, you know, talk more Yellow Jackets in a non-recorded, low pressure atmosphere. So
yeah.
We hope you'll join us. And we will be posting more about that. So stay tuned on our socials. Whew. All right. Oh, before we get started, we do have a birthday to report. Liv Hewson is celebrating their birthday on November 29th, and they are turning 26 years old. So happy birthday to Liv.
They're all such babies.
Yeah. I know. It's cool, though, like being 26 and being able to play a high school student. I love that. And that's been done, you know, in shows since forever. So it's cool when you can look that young and get away with it. So
seriously, sorry, I just had to apologize. I said love her thinking of Van because Van is a female character. Liv Hewson is non-binary. Liv Hewson goes by they. Just wanted to clear that up in case anybody heard me say that. I was confusing the character and the actor in my head for a second there.
Hey, no problem. But yeah, we are all about the correct pronoun. So yes, Liv is non-binary and they are they. So happy birthday to them. 26 years old on November 29th, which is tomorrow. Yes. All right. Well, I think it's time for us to dive into our topic, which is where's Javi?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. And we've talked a lot about it throughout different episodes, you know, kind of speculating earlier in the seasons. We talked about, you know, is Javi Adam. Let's start with things that we 100% do know about Javi. Number one, he is not Adam.
No,
but they considered it. The show considered it.
Yes. And the fact that they considered it makes me think that they have plans for him to make it out of the woods. Because why would they be planning for him to be adult Adam if he's not going to survive?
Right.
Yes, that is absolutely correct, Emily. Great deduction. I feel pretty strongly we're going to see him in the adult timeline. And this is a question we've asked on various platforms, including Twitter. We said, do you think we'll see Javi in the adult timeline? This poll was a tie.
Wow.
Both yes and no got 41% of the vote and unsure got 17%, which, I mean, there's a lot of things that we could be unsure of. So totally get that. Reddit, is Javi still alive? Yes. 193 responded that he helped Lottie empty Travis's bank account, whereas 149 people said he was never seen again after Doom coming. And then 178, unfortunately, he didn't make it out of the woods alive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a thing. You know, Emily, you've talked a lot about Travis's bank account. And, you know, you believe that Javi played some kind of a hand in helping Lottie empty his bank account. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
It's just like, the more you think about it, with his bank account being emptied so soon after he died, like, I did a lot of research on what it takes to close out a bank account, and
you watch out, people. Don't get on her bad side.
You have to have like a death certificate. Like, you have to have all these documents in order to close it out. So if it was closed out that quickly, I just feel like it had to be some, like, if Javi is still alive, like, he's the link. Like, he's the link between Lottie getting that money and, like, Travis's death. The only thing I can't make sense of is that would mean that he had a hand in Travis's death, possibly. And I can't, like, for the life of me, wrap my head around Javi participating in Travis's death. Unless he, like, is a full-blown Lottie follower.
I mean, what if him and Lottie ended up together, you know, and she's this, like, cougar that, you know, I don't know, maybe they ended up together. Our friend Elizabeth McDuffie has speculated that Javi will end up with Paul, Coach Ben's boyfriend, and they will live happily ever after in the adult timeline, which is funny. Yeah. So, I mean, have we talked about Javi and Lottie, like, being an item? I mean, why else would Javi have any hand in that if he wasn't tied to somebody else, like, more important than his brother? I don't know.
I mean, Emily, you had mentioned, is it you that brought up the possibility of maybe Travis and Lottie having gotten together and, like, legally married?
I've seen that on Reddit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that would make sense, obviously, because she would have all of the correct documentation.
Yeah.
I mean, who the fuck is Lottie Matthews, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you know, it's, yeah, I don't know.
So I think it's safe to say, like, we'll probably see Javi as an adult. We had one more of those Reddit polls, and then this one was another yes. And if we're looking at all the data here, most fans are thinking, yes, Javi does survive. Javi is going to be present in the adult timeline. So further confirming that is the fact that Luciano Leroy, who plays Javi, has been posting from set. We've seen some pictures of him at his trailer. We've seen his actual trailer. We've seen him doing some homework. So we know that he's on set, which could go one of two ways. You know, he's maybe seen as a flashback or ghost if he did not make it, or he did make it and they're just continuing to film. And then, you know, maybe we'll see a Javi casting announcement further down the line.
I can't see them just bringing him back for flashbacks, though. Like, if they're going to do that with Jackie, like, are they going to, like, would they really do that with more than one character?
I mean, I can't see that. I picture him making it out and being alive. But the question is, where is he?
Yeah. And honestly, I don't think he's, like, if he died at this point in the story and was brought back in flashbacks, I don't know that he would even be relevant enough to the story at this point.
Yeah.
To do that. Yeah. Like, there doesn't really seem to be a purpose for it. So it's, you know, it's funny because I was so convinced at first that he was dead. Like, there's no way, like, that bear got to him. But yeah, I'm overwhelmingly convinced that he's alive for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, something that we haven't talked as much about is Travis goes back and gets his dad's ring from the dead body. Actually, I should say Nat is the one who ends up actually getting the ring. But is there a possibility we're going to see that ring again? Is that going to play some kind of importance? Will it be like Jackie's necklace and, you know, some kind of something? Like, where is that ring going to come into play? Because I can't imagine they would have gone all the way back to get it and not have it resurface, whether it's, you know, Travis giving it to his mom when they make it out or something. I don't know.
The show is so big on symbolism, like, that it makes me think that there has to be more to it than it just being like a token to remember his dad.
What if they don't know about this yet because it didn't seem like a big deal at the time? But what if the ring was on Travis when they recovered his body?
Oh,
like that would link him to Javi in the present timeline. And like, it could be on his hand or in his pocket or
like, wearing it as a necklace even.
Yeah. Like maybe, you know, because Travis dug up their dad to get the ring for Javi. Like if Javi is involved in Travis's murder, maybe he put the ring back on Travis's person for him to be buried with it or
I was also thinking that maybe the note that Travis leaves that says tell Nat she was right is that that Javi is still alive. Like maybe they thought he was dead and that was saying like I have proof now that he's not dead, like he's still alive.
So you think he might still be alive, but was never found again in the wilderness until he was rescued?
I feel like if he is alive and he's tied to Lottie's group, that mm-hmm. his being alive might have been kept secret for some reason.
Gotcha. Hmm.
Interesting.
I think that's a good possibility. I think that the girls might not see him again. I think we might not see him again in the wilderness before there's a rescue. I think that's
poor
a good possibility.
But
yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, I think he's going to be back because, well, I mean, we saw pictures of him on his Instagram, but for all we know, he could be filming scenes on his own.
Yeah.
That's very possible. Yeah. That's true. You know, another interesting thing surrounding Javi is the wolf figure that he carves for Shauna. Now, what's interesting about the timing of that is he carves that on the same evening when Van is attacked by the wolves. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's up with that? Like, what's up with that?
Does he have some kind of like superpower too? Like where he can see or feel and know things are going to happen? Like Lottie?
It's a good observation for sure. It could be just a coincidence, but I don't like the idea of it being just a coincidence.
Yeah.
At the same time, I can't think of anything else that he's done that he's done or said that could bring that into question.
Well, when they have the seance, he asked the question, are we all going to die out here?
Yeah.
Like, and to me, that was almost like foreshadowing, like he knows like some bad shit's going to go down while we're out here.
Mm. Yeah. Now, another theory that had been going around was about Javi and the bear. Some fans speculated that perhaps, just perhaps, the bear ate Javi and it came to camp, and that's why it kind of bows down to Lottie. So
it was all like shroomed out off of Javi's body.
Yes, but... But, like, if they were all still hallucinating, maybe, except Jackie did not partake in the mushrooms. And she saw the bear. And so, in my mind, I don't think that theory, you know, holds any water. It is very bizarre that the bear does come to camp and, you know, very slowly approaches and whatever. But I'm just going to say, you know, I don't think the bear ate Javi. I do not think Javi is in the bear's belly.
No. No way.
Yeah. I just can't.
Well, you know what though? I mean, I do think that there's something to the theory that them feeding the woods and the woods feeding them in return. I do think that there's something to that. Because we saw them find that deer, which happened shortly after a lot of people died. And then we didn't really see them having any luck finding animals again until Jack. And well, no, Jackie was still alive. Wait, what am I saying? But Laura Lee died.
Yeah.
So,
I feel like they were rewarded with the bear because of what they did to Travis, though. Like,
oh, yeah.
They spilled Travis's blood the night before the bear appeared.
Yeah.
Right. And that was the last time we actually saw Javi was when Shauna told him to run. Mm-hmm.
Which was terrifying.
It was terrifying. I mean,
in that voice.
Yeah. She sounded like a straight up demon. Yeah.
Yes. And it was like she was possessed in a way, but she still had that shred of humanity to know enough to tell Javi to escape. So there's that like mothering, nurturing instinct, you know, where she's kind of looking out for Javi. And her and Javi have always had this special type of relationship out there. So, you know, she saved his life in one aspect by telling him to run, but, you know, she may have killed him in another because he ran and like, where did he go? Yeah. Which brings us to our next topic of where did he seek shelter? Possible he went back to the plane wreckage, you know, maybe he sought shelter there. But we like to dig deeper and speculate a little bit more here on the Antler Queen. So
yes,
we're just going to speculate. So we actually had received this email from a fan, Jason, right? Kelly, why don't you read the email from Jason? I think we've talked about it before, but let's talk about it in this context.
Yes. So our listener, Jason, sent us the following email. I've had the theory from the start that the underground tunnels from Lottie's baptism vision are related to a dam at the lake. Hydroelectric dams use giant magnetic turbines to convert the water to electricity. These turbines could have screwed up the compass, and some kind of equipment discharge could have discolored the water. These tunnels could have housed the cult far before the girls got there. And I did some, you know, I did some kind of follow-up digging, and there is, I don't know for sure of the exact lake that they film at, but the there's a lot of people are assuming that it's Alouette Lake in Canada, in the Canadian wilderness. Alouette Lake is connected to a dam system. And if you're watching this, we have a photo up there right now that shows an entrance to one of the tunnels. So it's very interesting. There are definitely some underground spaces in that area. They're also, and it, you know, and I apologize because I looked for this before the episode, and for some reason I had no success in finding any information about it this time. But I remember reading before in the past about some hidden underground mines that are completely separate from that, that are in the Canadian Rockies, that are like hard to find and kind of inaccessible. And like, there's even supposedly a gold mine that's like nobody's been able to get to. So there's definitely some possibilities there for, you know, where he could have disappeared to. And it correlates with Lottie's vision, which that has to mean something. I mean,
oh yeah, that's coming back up.
It has to. I mean, but looking at the visuals from that hallucination, it looks more substantial to me than like an underground mine, but I don't know a lot about mines. I mean, yeah. It looks like a bunker, like a legit, like underground, I mean, something, you know. And in one of the scenes, there's this moose that's in there, which is interesting that they have the depiction of an animal down there as well. I mean, is it possible that he found something and sought shelter there? Or, you know, are there other people there? I don't know.
Yeah, there could be. It's like I keep thinking of the Wilds now, like, in thinking about this, like with their whole, it actually does kind of look like the location that was in the Wilds where the girls went after, like when they were being interviewed and stuff.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, what if this is all just some big social experiment, just like the Wilds, right? just kidding. It's not. I'm just kidding. And the Wilds got canceled, so like whatever, Wilds.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't get over, you know, these underground visions. Like I think there's definitely something there that has to tie in. Why Absolutely. Else would they show it as that? I mean, they could have had her be anywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know what's really interesting is there is, you know, like Jason mentions about like it could have housed the cult, like it could have existed long before Lottie got there, and it could, like, there is that part in Lottie's vision where she's at an altar with candles, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, when any TV show shows a vision like that, everything has to mean something. Everything within that vision has to mean something. Otherwise they wouldn't include it. So it's, I mean, I think like, especially with all the water that's in there and everything, it's, I think that's, you know, very likely that it could be related to, it could be connected to like the dam system.
Yeah, I was gonna say like the dam aspect of the actual structure, like that could be underneath the dam.
Yeah,
that's true. Like, and with turbines and stuff, like what else is in like dams, turbines, like other other equipment. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, and you know, if there's like, I mean, it could also mean that they're going to eventually set up some kind of like ritual space in there with an altar. But you know, it could already exist.
But I feel like it makes the most sense for Javi to stumble across a second location too, because when they, like, we know that they eventually split, like there's mm-hmm. some splitting of the group at some point in the show. Like right. it's in the show synopsis, like that they're warring clans. Mm-hmm. So they're not all going to stay in one place.
Yeah.
Once they split.
That's true. They have to separate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, it's not like one group is just going to be hanging around outside, you know, exposed. So I think, you know, yeah. maybe one clan will take over the cabin and the other will take over the second space. I think that's,
yeah. I mean, there has to be a secondary shelter. There has to be.
Yeah, for sure. And for all we know, it could be the plane, but I don't think so. I mean, there's not that much protection and
yeah.
I mean, I can't get over like seeing that tunnel in the side of the mountain in this lake picture that you showed us, Kelly. Like, I mean, it's pretty compelling evidence that there could be an underground component. And really, for him to survive out there, you know, in the cold, he has to be in a shelter somewhere. He's not just sleeping outdoors or
for sure
probably end up like Jackie. So,
yeah, I mean, because he was out like at the same time Jackie was. I mean, he hadn't made it back to the cabin. So.
And he was not dressed for winter.
No, not at all. I mean, Jackie mm-mm. had a coat on at least.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, he had to have found shelter in order to survive. That's for sure.
Absolutely. You know, it's been really fun watching some of the behind the scenes pictures that have been posted about Javi, both from season one and from current filming in season two. There's one here of the Martinez family, which, again, you know, Kelly, you brought this up a couple times. Like, what was going on in their family before they left? You had speculated, you know, perhaps Coach Martinez was having some kind of an affair, but there was definitely some tension, you know, in the family before they left. We know that Travis, you know, was not super close to his dad. He, you know, didn't have a lot of warm and fuzzy things to say about him, although he did go back for the ring, you know, again. So mm-hmm. it'll be interesting to see how the Martinez family is shaking out in the present day timeline, and you know, whether or not Javi's been around or not since 1996.
Well, you know, I have all kinds of thoughts on that too, because when we saw the family together, obviously, like you mentioned, there was some obvious tension, but the boys seem to each have a side.
I agree.
The mom, the mom went to like try to, you know, go hug or kiss Javi, and he just completely blew her off. And whereas Travis clearly has some animosity mm-hmm. Toward his father, and Javi was really broken up about their father's death.
Yeah.
I have a strong feeling that there could be some infidelity there. But if it's on Coach Martinez's part, I have this idea that he could have fathered a child with somebody else, and the child could be Adam. Because he says he grew up in the suburbs of Houston, and he has this like heavy New Jersey accent, which is weird, which he could have been, that could have been influenced by one of his parents. You know, she, like, his mother could have lived in New Jersey at the time and then ended up moving to Texas to like be closer to family or something. Adam also had this wood carving, this animal wood carving in his apartment. And plus there's the whole Martin Martinez thing.
Yeah.
Ugh. And it's, and I'm bringing this up because I think there's a lot of possibilities there with, you know, we've talked about Adam possibly being involved with the cult, connected to the cult in some way. We've talked about present day Javi possibly being connected to the cult. We know that Javi kind of favored his father over his mother. Javi could have had a relationship with Adam, maybe. There's a lot of interesting possibilities there.
Yeah.
The carved animal in Adam's apartment is definitely very interesting. We see that, I believe, in the season one finale before Shauna goes and stabs him. It's kind of like on the background in a filing cabinet. And, you know, it looks just like the carved wolf that he carved for Shauna. Yeah. And again, I mean, maybe those were all just kind of clues that they put in there just in case they decided to go the route making Adam and Javi the same person. And once they abandon that, you know, they're all just coincidence and, you know, juice for fodder or whatever. But yeah. It's very interesting. And, you know, just seeing this behind the scene photo of Luciano and Courtney Eaton, you know, I just love speculating on what their current day relationship is. You know, was it Travis and Lottie that were involved? Is, you know, Javi involved with the cult? Is he alive somewhere else just off the radar and not tied in at all? I mean, there are so many possibilities.
Plot twist. He's a colorectal surgeon in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
And he has the book Anus displayed on his coffee table, right?
Yes.
No, and that was the book that Adam's brother had that he mentioned, right? His brother had that on his coffee table, the Anus book. And speaking of Anus, like we hear, you know, that again when Sean is talking about skinning the rabbit chin to Anus. So maybe there's this like Anus connection in there somewhere. I don't know what it is. I don't know, but... Since you brought it up, Kelly.
Sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to start a whole discourse on anuses. Oh,
yes, yes.
I think that if he is alive in the current timeline, that none of the other survivors know. Because if they did, why wouldn't he have been brought up when they found out that Travis died?
Yeah.
Right, and... You know, at the reunion, when we see the photos in the trophy case, it's interesting because we see the Martinez family photo and we know Travis survived, but there's no indication, you know, just based on that trophy case of who survived and who didn't. Like, we know Travis survived, but just looking at the photo, it looked like more of a memorial, right? So
I thought that was so weird that they had people that were alive in those pictures.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that was really strange.
Yeah, it's bizarre. And there's just no mention of Javi at all amongst the adults, you know? I mean, they just, like, they talk a lot about Travis and, you know, Travis's murder, but none of them bring up Javi once, which I find very sus.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, God. It makes me think that he could be part of that other clan, that the people that we've seen so far are part of one group and the others are, you know, Javi's with the others.
Yeah.
What I'm interested in knowing is, you know, and it could, like, this dialogue could have been scrapped. But in the, you know, a while back, there were some audition photos or audition videos that got leaked. And there was some dialogue in there where Lottie was talking to her therapist and she mentioned the center that's connected with their wellness group. And I don't remember if there was like, I don't think there was a mention of this. I think I just got this idea in my head that the center is possibly like, their location where they were in the woods. You know, I don't know if either of you guys kind of like thought about that possibility or not, but I mean, it could be the cabin, it could be this underground location that we're theorizing about. Kind of interesting.
Now, there was the dialogue as well, I think, between adult Lottie and adult Nat. Mm-hmm. Was the waitress or something talking about like referring to the wellness group, because that makes me think that they must be near whatever small town this is, right? So if the town knows of their existence, like they've got to be somewhere within civilization, I would think. I mean, how close are they to where they were stranded in the wilderness? You know, like where are they having this meeting? Like we've talked about, you know, perhaps they bring adult Nat back to the cabin. So maybe it is, there's a town closer than we think. And, you know, it's all in the same area. So that could be a theory.
Yeah. And we did see that, that photo from filming early on where they were, it was the adult timeline. It was the present day timeline. And they were at the cabin. I mean, it sure as hell looked like the cabin. I mean, I really analyzed the details in that photo.
That's right. And didn't Ashley Lyle confirm that and say, you know, we were just out in the wilderness with Simone and Juliet.
Yes.
So, you know, that's something.
And yeah, in that dialogue, it was the server's daughter was, whose name is Kelly, by the way. the server's daughter was part of Lottie's group. She mentioned, because Lottie brought her up.
Yes, I remember. Okay.
And she also, Lottie also mentioned to her therapist, which I don't think that any of this was true. I don't think Lottie was telling the truth here, but I think she said something to her therapist about how Travis had come to this, had showed up at the center and he was freaking out and he was like wanting to do all these rituals that they used to do.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of interesting. I think Lottie is lying about something to cover up. I think Lottie is lying about something there to cover up, like to make it seem like Travis was kind of erratic and would have killed himself. But, you know, it sounds like Lottie possibly did actually have contact with him.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and what were they talking about? Is their contact tied into the note that he left? Who was the note for? I mean, so many things to wonder about. And hey, on Twitter or Instagram this weekend, Juliet Lewis said something about getting the season 2 premiere sooner than we thought, or sooner, I think is what she referenced, right? So,
it can't come soon enough.
Seriously, like we need answers. Where's Javi, right? Like that's a big one. We need answers to lots of different things. Goodness.
Yes, we do. So we all think Javi's alive, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
For sure.
But do we see him in the adult timeline is the real question.
Do we have any fantasy casting for Javi?
Ooh. Let's pull up a couple Javi picks here. Let's look. Let's see.
Melanie does kind of look like somebody that I can't think of.
He reminds me of the guy in The Watcher.
Didn't you suggest Adam Driver?
I did. Yes, from Star Wars. And I feel like I posted that in the Yellow Jackets discussion group on Facebook and was met with the sentiments of he's way too big of a star, probably not going to happen. But then I'm like, you know what? We got Elijah Wood, you know, who's pretty big. And who knows how long adult Javi's, you know, arc would be. But yeah, you're right, Emily. I did absolutely say him. They look very similar.
Yeah.
I can totally see that. And maybe him and Simone are like buds and she can, you know, talk him into it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who else? Who else?
He's got a really kind of a unique look. I was actually going to, for some reason, Freddie Prinze Jr. came to mind, but I think he's a little too...
He'd be a little too old, wouldn't he?
Maybe. I mean, he's
Javi's a couple years younger, right, than the girls.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, Juliet Lewis and Christina Ricci are a good number of years apart in age.
Yeah,
that's true. Who's the guy in The Watcher on Netflix? Who's the guy? His name's on the tip of my tongue. He's in a lot of stuff. I can.
Like, I love him
about
too.
His eyes make me like think about Javi a little bit too.
I love him too.
I can't think of his name. I'm gonna Google it right now. Let's see.
It's Bobby Cannavale.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, he was in Nine Perfect Strangers too.
Oh, I liked that show. That was good.
Yeah,
that was good. Yeah, I like so I can maybe see him, like something in his eyes. I don't know. Interesting. Well, hey, if you're listening or watching, drop a comment. Tell us who you think would be an awesome adult Javi.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be incredible if like they're saving that casting announcement for last? Like, I mean, he is a more minor character, but I mean, maybe they're keeping it under wraps, or maybe we don't see him in the adult timeline. I don't know.
Or maybe we don't see him in this season. Maybe we'll see him in a future season. Like, that might be a reveal that they save for later on.
Right. I can see them leaving that as like a cliffhanger for season one. Also, like, you know, Javi as an adult.
But if he does. Go ahead, Kelly.
Oh, no. I just thought of somebody that. Wait, no, never mind. He's way too old. I was going to say he kind of like, I could see Javier Bardem, but he's a little too old.
Like, yeah.
I don't think that would work.
Who's the guy in that show, Good Behavior? I need to look up that. That's a pretty good show. There's a guy in that. Javier reminded me of that because that's the guy's name on the show, Good Behavior. And I'm going to look that up and see who that guy is. Juan Diego Botto. I don't know. Anyway, he looks a lot like he could be Javi as well. Huh, also cool. A good show. Yes. Nice. All right. Well, what else can we say about where we think Javi is? I mean, we've covered, you know, different places he could have sheltered overnight. We've speculated on the adult timeline. What other things are not sitting well with us that we need to discuss?
Everything. Nothing is sitting well. Nothing is sitting right with me. So I don't know. I think we covered a good deal. They actually do look a lot alike. Travis and Javi.
Travis and Javi, yeah. They do. They really great casting. They look a lot like brothers. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Do either of you think it's weird that none of the other girls like question where Javi was? Like, the only people that were looking for him were Natalie and Travis.
It was
like everybody else like forgot he even existed.
Right.
That poor kid.
I know. That's so weird. Nobody asked about him. Like, why wasn't Ben? I mean, because somebody brought up Nat and Travis and Ben like acknowledged them. I forgot what he said. Like, he said they're dealing with something else right now. But he didn't say anything about Javi. Like, nobody said anything about Javi. No, like,
not a single person.
Yeah.
So bizarre. Like, they should be a lot more concerned, I feel like.
For sure. I mean, yeah, they don't do a very good job of looking out for each other.
Oh, you know, the other thing that we could quickly touch upon is, do we believe Javi's in the Cannibal Council?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I talked a little bit about that. And, you know, there's eight of them and he could be slotted right in there. I think like Akila and him maybe were two that we were going back and forth on. But I mean, it would make sense if Javi's in there, especially if he ends up making it to the adult timeline, you know.
Well, there's eight. Eight in the Cannibal Council. So either between Javi and Akila and Mari, somebody's not making it.
I think that Javi is the one that looks like the rabbit in the Cannibal Council.
Okay.
Like, it looks like he almost has a sock on his head, if you know which one I'm referring to.
Yeah. For sure.
And that one looks the smallest, too. Yeah. That character looks the smallest in size, I think, comparably.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if that means
that anything. Would be my guess.
Yeah.
So we do believe he's on the Cannibal Council. I do. I think that it's Mari who ends up being Pit Girl and doesn't make it out. I'm still undetermined, I guess, about Akila, but it would make sense for Javi to be there. And you would think that he'd be on the same side as Nat and Travis and not mm-hmm. on Lottie's side. So that will be interesting to see who's in which of the warring cannibalistic clans.
Unless Lottie somehow like manipulates him into, you know, turning against Travis, but
I mean, it would possible. Have to be something pretty serious, I feel like, to turn the two brothers against each other, you know? I mean,
well, we saw that Travis obviously cares about Javi a lot, but was there necessarily a focus on Javi returning that same brotherly love? I don't know.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, we don't know much about him. You know, we really don't.
He's so young, too.
He's really young. He's still like, he's still got a lot.
What do we think? He's like 13 or something?
Yeah.
13? Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like there's a lot of room for him to kind of evolve or devolve. Who knows?
Some people were speculating that they don't think that he makes it to the adult timeline because they think that the actor himself will grow too much over the next couple years, and like the voice changing and all of that will come into play, and they think that like just killing him off would be an easy way to avoid having to deal with all that stuff.
That's right. A big problem. Like I remember in The Walking Dead, The Walking Dead had that issue with Carl, especially because like season 4 comes back and no time has really passed. Season 3, Carl still looks like a little kid. Season 4 comes along and like the memes were flying with him like having a beard. I mean, he didn't have a beard in the show, but I mean, he was noticeably like his voice was noticeably different and he looked very different, and there was supposed to have been no time passing. So that's definitely an issue that TV shows have to figure out when it comes to like child characters.
Continuity wise, it definitely creates issues. And you know, one show that did a really good job and had the foresight in order to combat that was This Is Us. So This Is Us filmed in multiple timelines, and at one point they filmed the scenes for the series finale 4 years in advance because of that same issue. The kids that they were using in that particular timeline, if they had waited to film the finale, you know, 4 years later, the kids would be way too big. So they actually had the production foresight to film the series finale scenes, you know, years ahead of time, which is genius.
And I never knew that.
Yes. I forget. It was like the middle kids, like the, I feel like the 12-year-old versions of the Pearson kids. Anyway, because Yellow Jackets is such a highly serialized show, and you know, they do have a 5-season order, if they're smart about it, they can film what they want to film with him now, you know, and get it in the can and then use it later. So that wouldn't shock me from a production standpoint, especially because they are taking so long to film. Maybe that's one of the reasons. Maybe they are pre-filming some things in advance just in case to use, you know, 5 years from now. So that's a possibility. And like I said, This Is Us did a really good job with that. And props to their whole production team for having that foresight, because that's something that not all production managers or production teams can pull off. So
That's really smart. I
have all the faith that Yellow Jackets could do it. I think they're very smart production wise. I think Ashley and Bart know exactly where they're going. So I wouldn't rule that out.
You know who else did a really good job with that was Handmaid's Tale, because Hannah, like, I don't know exactly how they went about it, because it wasn't very obvious. I mean, Hannah was in the past 2 seasons, and she's looked so much more grown up now than she did just last season. Last season, she still looked very much like a little girl. And, you know, she still is very young, but she looks a lot older than she did before, but she looks age appropriate though. I think they've done a really good job of dealing with that, with the timeline, and not having it be completely out of whack with Hannah's physical development. It's like that kind of, that really impressed me. Like, I didn't even recognize Hannah at first in this past season. I was like, oh my God, that's Hannah.
I mean, she's a grown up. Yeah. Yeah. She's in wife school already. Right.
And like just last the season before, I mean, she just looks like such a little girl. Like, I mean, you know, they had that scene where they, where June went to see her when she was in that like glass
prison
box. And she was like, and she was terrified. And she was just like this little tiny thing. So, but yeah, it didn't seem like, wait a minute. Okay. They just, there's been no time passing. They haven't like, they've had this continuous timeline that hasn't skipped at all. Why is Hannah suddenly like looking so much grown, like so much more grown up? I think they did a really good job with kind of like pacing that out. So that was kind of cool.
Right. And, you know, side note, we all love Handmaid's Tale, and we will be covering the Handmaid's Tale with the Meat for Tea podcast. Our friend of the show, Elizabeth McDuffie, has asked us to do that. So that's something we've got on our future radar, along with covering season one of American Horror Story, Murder House. That was requested by our honorary Antler Queen Phoenix, and that is also on our radar. We thought maybe we'd cover a couple of other shows that we all enjoy, you know, before season two drops for some fun content and to give you guys some more recommendations if you need them. So,
yeah,
that is all coming.
Yes. Yeah. Another great benefit of joining our Patreon, you can request content at some of the higher levels. So,
yes. And, you know, speaking of our patrons, our friend Jade just posted this photo of her MFQ mug that she received for her gift this month at being at her certain tier. And actually, this reminds me, we need to do our post for our patrons to go and answer the trivia question so that way we can award our monthly prizes. So we'll work on that and drop that in our Patreon. Again, we'd also like to thank our honorary Antler Queen Phoenix. We bow to you for your support and all of our other patrons. Yes. So I guess we're done talking about Javi since now I've started talking about Patreon.
and Kimberly, by the way, is our patron of the week. So shout out to Kimberly.
And down under too, right? She is in Australia or New Zealand?
I think she's in Australia. Very cool.
I love that we have listeners from all around the world. When we look at our stats, of course, we've got a lot of US, Canada, Mexico, but we've got a lot of overseas listeners. So, you know, shout out to everybody around the world who enjoys Yellow Jackets as much as we do. And, you know, we thank all of you for your support. And that said, again, on December 9th, we have our patron fan chat that's going to be on Zoom. You can join us if you are part of our Patreon, which you can sign up for at patreon.com/theantlerqueens. And again, we will be having a couple of little contests which we'll be giving away prizes for. So we hope you can join in the fun, play our guessing games. We're going to be guessing, again, the season two premiere date and then also the date of the season two trailer drop. So our two fans who come closest to guessing those days will each get a prize. That post will go up in Patreon today for our existing patrons. And then again, sign up at patreon.com/theantlerqueens. And let's not forget, if you are looking for gifts for Yellow Jackets fans in your life, you can buy merch at antlerqueenspodcast.com. We've got all kinds of fun stuff. We showed our aprons last time we recorded, very nice for holiday baking and all of that stuff. We've got our fun MFQ stuff. Of course, we love our Misty fucking Quigley. We've got a whole variety of designs, colors, and different items. So please do shop at antlerqueenspodcast.com.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whew, boy. Oh, and I'm wearing my Peace, Love, and Yellow Jacket shirt.
Nice. Wearing my Doom Coming shirt.
Very cool. I'm wearing my my Showtime Comic-Con cooking with
Misty.
Misty shirt. Thank you, Showtime, for being so generous to us and sending us these awesome shirts. And my Misty Quigley, my MFQ mug.
Yes.
And I've actually been working on some another reason to join our Patreon. I've actually been working on making some Patreon exclusive merch available featuring the individual characters. So that we're still trying to figure out the logistics on it, but the designs are done. So it's just, you know, a matter of time before they should be coming very soon as far as being available. So
yes, I think our friend Phoenix was trying to shop for some maybe this weekend or last week. So we'll double check with her and make sure she was able to access what she needed. And you know what? Spreadshirt is actually having a little sale. So if you visit our antlerqueenspodcast.com shop, you will see that there's a discount for 15% off now through, I believe, December 2nd. So be sure to check that out.
Yes.
Yeah. Yay. And so our next episode that we're going to be dropping will be about the symbol. Now, what we would love is to find an actual symbologist who is also a fan of Yellow Jackets. Super tall order. But yeah, for all the citizen detectives out there, please help us track somebody down. If you know somebody, you know what? How about this? If you can help us find a symbologist that's a fan of Yellow Jackets, you may also join us on that episode and ask them a couple questions about the symbol. How does that sound?
We might have more luck finding a symbologist and then asking them to watch it.
Yeah.
And finding one that's watched.
Yes. I feel like we can convert them pretty easily. Yeah. So that is also a really good idea. So we'll do some checking around. We'll try to find a guest expert. It was really fun having your friend Sohel on our Black Box episode with his expertise on having worked for the FAA. So if we could get another expert, that would be great. Oh, and then we had Dr. Jesse Gold on our episode with Yellow Jackets and the Depiction of Trauma. So we are always on the lookout for special guest experts to help us cover this content.
Yes, I still very much want to get somebody who's kind of an expert on the history of paganistic rituals and stuff too, to see like what, if they see any elements of either like modern paganism or even ancient paganism reflected in like the Doom Coming episode or in the Cannibal Council, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Oh my goodness. There's so many more things that we can continue to cover up until season two, which we plan on doing. And, you know, if there's any topic that you'd like to see or hear covered, please email us, drop a comment on the socials. We are always looking for fan input and we appreciate it very much.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Kelly and Emily.
What's up, Melanie?
Buzz off.
Buzz off.
Buzz off.
Antler Queens out.